Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we soon will be simulcasting on YouTube. We are in the process of actually uploading shows, archiving them on YouTube, so you can find, you know, the last couple of our shows. But we are in the process of just getting it up so you can actually listen on YouTube if you prefer, rather than using your computer and going to the 1-2 Radio app. But in any case, that's what you're listening to this morning. And hopefully, I always like to say, we are changing the way that we listen to the world. That's what we're doing on 1-2 Radio. And this is July 1st, 2025. Can't believe it. It's already July. Love it. And the weather certainly is telling me that. All I have to do is kind of look out the window or open the door, and I know that it's summertime. So on today's show, we are going to look at the week ahead. You know, astrologically, that's mostly what we do on this show. We do a little tarot. We do, you know, some metaphysical and spiritual things, but we mostly use astrology as our lens for looking ahead. So we're going to look at Venus moving into Gemini, which is going to happen on the 4th of July. And time permitting, we'll dip really quickly into Neptune's annual retrograde, which is also going to start on July 4th. But first, I do want to backtrack a little bit because I want to go back and talk about Mercury's move into Leo. Now, that actually happened last week on June 26th. But on last week's show, we really didn't have time to talk about it. And I think it's worth visiting and, you know, just spending some time with it. We're also going to start right away by doing a couple more shout outs to Jupiter in Cancer. Jupiter will be in Cancer until June of 2026. And in light of the fact that so many other planets are changing signs this year, including, you know, we talked about it, Saturn and Neptune and Uranus next week, I don't want Jupiter to kind of get lost in that shuffle. And I feel like, you know, I kind of keep doing bits and pieces of Jupiter in Cancer, but I still had a few notes left from last week that I really wanted to go over. So we're going to do those first thing. Just make sure we get that done and you can refer back to those later. So before we do that, though, just a few announcements and reminders. Make sure that you're checking out and that you are subscribed to Mark's Power Peak. That's the online newsletter. It comes out every Saturday night. It's free to subscribe. Go to 1-2listen.com and you can subscribe there. That's where you're going to find my column, which is called The Week Ahead, which of course has all the details. It says where the moon is, when it's void of cores, you know, when it changes signs, when the planets are changing signs. And I describe various things that are going on each day. And then also putting an interpretation according to, you know, what's coming to me psychically about how I think that's going to unfold in the week ahead. So please check that out. There's a number of other articles, of course, in that newsletter too. There's spiritual, metaphysical, esoteric. You'll find things on tarot and I Ching and feng shui and numerology. So please go check that out. There's a number of people that write for that newsletter. And like I said, it's free and it comes out every Saturday night. So go check that out. Also, if you'd like to, you can join me over on Facebook today. We have a chat room, a private group that we use during the show. So if you have a question or if you have a comment, you know, I try to at least look over there a few times during the show so that I can shout out to people like, hey, Leslie, it's good to see you. And, you know, just, you know, answer a question if I can. Now, of course, you know me, I always have all this material that I am getting ready or that I'd like to do on the show. So I can't always shout out or answer all the questions. But if you have them, please put them over there because I will, you know, if not during the show, I will look at them later and try to respond to them. So thanks for coming and thanks for joining me over there. And there again, the easiest way to get to that room, if you have not been there before, is to go to 1-2radio.com. And you'll see on the left side, you'll see something that says chat. And when you see that chat button, just click it and it's going to redirect you over to Facebook, automatically kind of putting you right at the door of the room. Okay. All right. So let's look at this cosmic dance for the week of June 30th, but there again, kind of tripping backwards to, we're going to start with Jupiter in Cancer. So what I was talking about last week, I think when we finished, is I was giving a shout out to Barbara Moore, who is an author of a new card deck, a tarot card deck called Good Fortune. And I wanted to bring that up again because Barbara Moore, it did write the steampunk tarot, which is literally one of my go-to decks. I have two, maybe even three of those decks, because when I read for people, oftentimes I'll switch it up and I'll read two or three decks at the same time. Or maybe I have one, you know, card reading on my desk and I want to, you know, grab and do another reading for another purpose. So I like to have multiple decks. So if I like a deck, I always have at least two, sometimes three. And I just recently got this deck and already I have two, because the minute I started using it, I said, you know what? I know that I'm going to need one more than one of these. And I'm already every day using, you know, both decks. So it's Barbara Moore and it's called the Good Fortune Tarot. And I just, you know, there's obviously thousands of decks out there. And so I just, when I come across something that I just think is really special or really good, I want to bring it up to you. And one of the reasons I think this is good is Barbara just has that attitude that I consider very positive forward, where it's not airy-fairy. You know, it's not like, hey, everything is okay. But it's saying, you know what? Fortune is something that we make ourselves. And I think the other thing is, if you read the whole introduction, and of course I can't go through all of it, just the idea of, you know, putting a deck out there that gives you the opportunity to kind of make the best of every situation without sugarcoating it and saying, hey, you know, it looks like there's something going on here. I mean, that's the advantage of tarot or any of the good, what I consider oracles, is that it gives us a chance to see, where are we on the wheel of life? And, you know, where we are, we don't particularly like it. But if we know where we are, we know, are we going up? Are we going down? What's likely to follow? You know, what can be our attitude towards this particular lesson? So, you know, I really want to shout out to Barbara, and I am going to read a long quote. I'll just tell you that right now, from the book, from the introduction. And I think this is worth, you know, I'm putting it in the category of Jupiter in Cancer, but it's really just Jupiter in general. You know, that whole idea of increasing our lives, expanding our lives, you know, really pulling in or attracting to our lives, you know, what we want, which is also a Venus function. But here's the quote. Fortune does not happen without any action on our part. And then it often is called good luck. Even better, fortune is responsive to our actions. We can attract it, increase it, ground it, and direct it. When we are tossed about by fate and pulled along by destiny, fortune tosses us a life ring. It takes us to solid ground so that we can catch our breath and get our bearings. Once we know where we are and where we want to go next, we can work with fortune to make our way as easy as possible. Make no mistake, fortune is not merely happiness or prosperity, although good fortune could cause you to find the love of your life or win the lottery. Good fortune is good luck. Little things going our way, big things falling painlessly into our lap, a blessing when needed, a miracle at fourth and goal. While we will enjoy happiness or prosperity as side effects of good fortune, its job is not to provide us with those delights. Fortune's most important role is to help us maintain balance, course correct as we lean towards our destiny, overcome the slings and arrows of fate, dance our demons, and express our genius. That's the end of the quote. That's Barbara Moore from her new card deck, Good Fortune. And, you know, that just, to me, it just like sums up some of the very, very positive ways, the useful ways, constructive ways of even looking at Jupiter in our lives. You know, it's not just about, hey, I got lucky and I found a quarter on the sidewalk or, you know, won the lotto or whatever. It's so much more than that. And I'm going to reread also something that Benjamin Franklin said. I think I used this at the end of last week's show, but I'm going to say it again because it here again reiterates this concept. Happiness consists more in small conveniences of pleasure that occur every day than in great pieces of good fortune that happen but seldom in the course of a life. That's Benjamin Franklin. And there again, you know, sometimes we're holding out for that big lucky break and not recognizing that we've got all these lucky, good fortunate things that happen to us every single day. Okay, I'm going to read a couple more quotes simply because these are people that have Jupiter in Cancer and something they said just struck me. The first one is Galileo. And he said, the sun, with all those planets revolving around it and dependent on it, can still ripen a bunch of grapes as if it had nothing else in the universe to do. And I love that quote for a number of reasons, but one too, because that's it. Be who you are. Shine. Do your thing. Be the sun that you are. And, you know, all these things are going to happen, big and small. You're going to have an influence. You're going to be part of the world, part of other people's lives. Paul McCartney also had, or has, I should say, Jupiter in Cancer. And one of the things he said is, what I have to say is all in the music. If I want to say something, I write a song. And I say that because, you know, there again, that Cancer energy, that very emotional, intuitive, creative energy. And the last quote is Brian Wilson, another musician, one of the Beach Boys. And he said, my mother used to tell me about vibrations. I didn't really understand too much of what that meant when I was a boy. To think that invisible feelings, invisible vibrations existed, scared me to death. But I figure, you know what? He didn't get too scared because he co-wrote hundreds of songs for the Beach Boys, including the massive hit, Good Vibrations. So there again, Jupiter sitting in Cancer. Go with your intuition. Go with your good vibrations. Go with your feelings. Listen to them. Maybe you don't understand them, but just go with them. All right. Now we are going to switch gears. We're going to go very different because we're going Mercury, the planet of the mind. And it is now sitting in Leo as of last Thursday, June 26th. And Mercury is the planet that we call the messenger planet. It's associated with thinking, communication, ideas, networking, and connection. Anything that has to do with connecting people, you know, phones, text, Zoom calls, YouTube, you know, anything that connects people, all the different, you know, mechanisms for connecting us, they're all associated with Mercury. Now, ordinarily, Mercury spends only like sometimes as little as 14 days, but more like, you know, 14 to maybe 21 days in a sign. That's pretty typical. But you know what? Not this time. Not for Leo. And I think you know what's coming. It's time for Mercury to move into a retrograde pattern. Now, it doesn't happen until July 17th. So Mercury will be retrograde July 17th. Through August 11th, if you want to put that on your calendar. And here again, if you're missing these dates, you can go find them in the Power Peak. But this means that Mercury will be in Leo for a very, very long time. Because in fact, this retrograde isn't going to take it back into Cancer. This whole pattern of Mercury in Leo is going to include that retrograde. So it's going to be from June 26th all the way through July, all the way through August, and it's not going to move on. It's not going to move into Virgo until September 2nd. So this is a very, very long time for Mercury to be literally in one sign. And that's one reason I didn't want to like not pay attention to Mercury in Leo, to give it short shrift, as they say, because this is a big one in terms of Mercury. But I think it's also important for a number of other reasons. But let's talk about Leo a little bit. It's the sign of color and drama. You know, when you think of that story, Joseph in the multicolored coat or whatever, Leo is the performer. You know, Leo is that person on stage, the one who wants to influence, the one that wants to be seen. So Leo, even, you know, when Mercury is in Leo, even if we aren't particularly good communicators or good speakers, we're still likely to make up for that with the volume. I mean, that's what we tend to do with Mercury in Leo. Somebody's not listening to us, we just talk a little bit louder, or we use visual appeal. You know, maybe it's hand gestures, maybe it's something else. We're going to find a way to be seen, even if we're not good speakers. Leo is the ultimate performer. And Leo wants, and this is important, here's some of these things. Leo wants and needs approval and applause. You know, Leo is that sign that just feeds on that kind of stuff, on attention. And with Mercury in Leo, it's hard to hold back or to not go overboard to get that appreciation. So once again, as you think about these couple of months and what the summer's going to be like, just pay attention to these things. I mean, that's what's fun for me as an astrologer, is as I know where these planets are, I know they're not causing the energy, but I see manifestations of them. You know, I listen to people, and we're going to hear all that Mercury in Leo this summer. We're going to hear people especially puffing up. You know, that whole idea, I don't even know what birds do that, but you know, that whole puffing up, you know, and I need to make myself look bigger. I need you to see me. I need you to hear me. And, you know, it's like, I got to be me. I got to be an individual. I've got to be seen. And one of the things, when we used to play music on this station, I would always play Toby Keith's version of I Want to Talk About Me whenever we hit Mercury in Leo. And so I would encourage you, if you do not know that song, go check it out. You know, like on some platform like YouTube or something else, go find his video, Toby Keith, singing I Want to Be Me. And if you, you know, or I Want to Talk About Me, rather. And it's, I think it's funny. You know, it's the kind of video sometimes if I just want to be cheered up or I just want something funny to laugh at, I will go watch that video because I think it's good natured. You know, it's not that kind of energy of I'm going to put you down and that's how I'm going to raise myself up. It's actually a very funny video. And even the lines are very funny, you know, because he says, I know talking about you makes me smile. And usually I like talking about you, but occasionally I want to talk about me. Now, I think in truth, Leo wants to talk about me a lot more than just occasionally. But there again, it is such a demonstration of sometimes we just don't want to get buried under all of that. So when I listen to that, and like I said, I intentionally go and either watch that or listen to that just to make myself laugh because I think it's great. And start listening for this. How many times in a conversation will somebody say, well, what about me? What about me? You know, no matter what you're talking about, just start listening for Mercury in Leo, because Leo is the antidote to Cancer excess. And everything in Cancer, remember, is about the team. It's about the family, the group, the higher good. You know, do this because your mom needs it. Do this because your brothers and sisters want it or need it. Do this because the boss or the co-workers. Cancer is all about working for the higher good, for the team, for the family. Well, all these individuals start feeling like they're getting lost. So after a time of Cancer, no matter what the, you know, the planet is, and in this case, it's Mercury. But if you think about it, we've got this big dose of Cancer, especially with Jupiter. And so, you know, we're kind of itching there. You know, we just, you know, I want to remember who I am. And every single sign corrects for the excesses or the deficits of the sign before it. So that's what happens is Leo finally says, hey, wait a minute, I want my chance to talk. I don't want to lose my individuality. My sense of self is very important. So Leo is often associated with big ego, no matter what the planet is. But ironically, and here again, this is one of those, I don't want to call it a trick exactly, but it's certainly, and it's not a secret, but when somebody is really acting out big ego, and you know what I'm talking about, ego has multiple definitions. But I'm talking about that me, 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 me thing, you know, just demanding, you know, people's attention, almost like a small child. And of course, why does the small child do that? Because they come into a family and they know that they need to establish a place. So when you see big demonstrations of ego, it's easy to say, oh my God, Leos are so egotistical, or Leos do this, that, or the other thing. Not actually true. Because big egos, and especially that me, 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 is more of a manifestation of a lack of confidence. It's a sense of not having a self or forgetting your purpose. So what if the next time somebody was talking like that and you're thinking, oh, this person is just driving me crazy. All they want to talk about is themselves. Well, what they're saying is the little kid in me just wants to be seen. I just want to be heard. And maybe somewhere else in their life, they're not being seen or heard at all. So this isn't an overabundance of ego when you hear that or when you see that. It's actually just the opposite. It's the person who is desperate to be seen. And if you go back to the mythology of Leo, it's about the powerless father, sometimes the missing father. That's, you know, and here again, we're not going to go into all the mythology, but that's what it is. It's the person, you know, and here again, we're talking about feelings. We're talking about kind of, you know, psyche things. Not necessarily that that was really true of a person with Leo, but there's a lack of identity because, you know, think about how many people identify with their fathers. Oh yeah, I'm from this family. You know, especially a family that has a big name or had a lot of money, had a lot of power. Here's my identity. I'm with this group, right? So if there's a lack of identity because there's a missing or powerless father, or you might want to also say family group there, well, then they're constantly looking for it. It's like now this child has to go out on their own. They're somewhat of an orphan, and they're looking for their identity. And where do they look? They look for it in other people. They use other people as mirrors. But what they want to say is, look at me, look at me. Let me see myself reflected in you. So once again, I know it's hard. And I mean, I'll tell you, I've got some Leos in my life. And sometimes all that pizzazz and all that stuff can just get a bit much. It can get overwhelming. But if you can remember, Mercury in Leo is our chance to sing our own songs, to sing our own praises, if we want to, and to try to influence people on the issues that we think are really important. But when you see somebody going overboard, when you hear, you know, like I said, you know, you're with an adult or you're with somebody who should know better and all they want to do is go me, 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 know that that is the little kid in them so afraid that they're losing their identity. They're not being seen. So you know what? Sometimes what do you do when somebody asks for attention? You give it to them. That's what they want. They want some attention, so give it to them. But there again is a person, whether it's you, I mean, sometimes I even find that, often I find that in myself. All of a sudden I'm talking to a neighbor or a stranger, and I realize it's because in another situation, I don't have any opportunity to talk. Just no opportunity at all. I'm not being seen in that situation. So the minute somebody starts paying attention to me, I kind of lose it. I mean, I just go for it. You know, maybe that's why I have a radio show, right? I get to talk, nobody interrupts. But just think about it. Watch it in yourself. And there again, and laugh about it. Laugh, say, oh, I must be needing some attention, or, you know, I just really want to express myself. So here are a few ideas that I want you to keep in mind. This is a good time during this whole thing, whether it's retrograde or not, be honest with yourself and other people. And you know, the more that you kind of strike that chord of, I just want to be authentic, I want to be honest, you'll learn an incredible amount about yourself and it will improve your relationships. So dare to be authentic. And without the need for approval. And that's not something we can ever really get away from. But like, pay attention. Is that why you're saying something? Is that why you're doing something? Because you so want that person to approve of you? Because you so want that person to give you positive feedback? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But did you pay attention to those feelings? Then maybe you can say, but you know what? Whose appreciation is the most important to me? Is it really theirs or is it mine? So, you know, there's so many things that we can learn. There's so many things that we can play with as we listen to ourselves, pay attention to ourselves, and just use this whole thing as one big lesson, one interesting astrological lesson with Mercury in Leo. But remember, Mercury in Leo wants to be on stage, wants to be seen as a leader or as important or as a person worth listening to. So, you know, as you look where Mercury ever is, I mean, Mercury, whatever sign it's in, it can always teach us about how to be a better communicator, but also how to slant our communications. So with Mercury in Leo, if you can find any way to entertain or to make people laugh, say something worth hearing, speak from the heart, and try to downplay the hierarchy, because Leo has a natural hierarchy, you know, the high and the low, the king and the paupers. So if you can talk to other people as if you're on the same team, we have something in common, and kind of play that down the whole hierarchy, that'll be better for your communications as well. And I would also say, but recognize what I'm talking about here. There are some people, they're going to kind of go to extremes, especially if somebody feels like they're not being paid attention to. They're not getting the attention they want. You know, that's when we kind of lash out or we say something and we go, oops, I didn't really mean to do that. Didn't mean to, you know, say that and hurt that person's feelings or be so blunt. You know, just be out there. Beware of that, especially with the retrograde. Not that the retrograde makes us do it, but the retrograde may show us times when we thought we were just being self-expressive, but we were really being very unconscious of other people's feelings and needs. And not that we need to cater to them all the time, but once again, this is going to be a good period for maybe healing some of those things, for recognizing, yeah, that was a little out of control. You know, I didn't really need to bring that up in front of people to embarrass you. I did it because I was feeling less than. And so I wanted to make you look bad in comparison. So, and once again, just be honest with yourself. What, you know, what is the purpose of your communication? I mean, sometimes, so often somebody will say, oh, well, I just wanted to be funny. And I thought, well, the only person it was funny to was you. It wasn't funny to me. You know, when you talked about something that was private or whatever, and I'm going into way too much detail here, but I just want to give you that idea that with Leo, we could also be incredibly, I think, vulnerable and sensitive in a different way than we see in the water signs. With this, it's more of an ego thing. I mean, it truly is. I feel wounded. And so, you know, just think about your communications and how they work in your life. And use your creativity. This is a very creative sign. And try to push forward that personal and unique genius that is you in communications. And another thing to keep in mind is that Mercury rules Gemini. And of course, this week on the 4th of July, we're going to have Venus entering Gemini. And so we're going to talk about that next. And cue the trumpets. Uranus, which spends 7 to 8 years in every single sign, guess what? It's moving into Gemini next Monday, July 7th. And that's important because think about how all these players astrologically literally play with each other. So Mercury's going to be in Leo, but he's ruling Gemini where these other planets are sitting. So there's always a little association there. There's always things going on back and forth that, you know, is all of a sudden your communications really, you know, breakthrough communications because Uranus is there? Maybe. You know, there's going to be some correlation is what I'm saying. And by the way, we're not going to talk about Gemini for, I think, a couple of weeks. Because I believe next week, Mo is going to join me. So we may talk about that a little bit, but we will do that deep dive on Uranus moving into Gemini. I promise that we'll do that, even if we don't do it next Tuesday. But by the way, I think Mark Husson on his show on Monday, which by the way, you can hear on 1-2 Radio. You can also hear it on YouTube. He is going to focus, I believe, on Uranus moving into Gemini. So you don't have to wait. But also remember, like I said, it's going to be there 7 years. We've got some time. So we will do it, but it just won't be next week. And it's not going to be today. Because right now we're moving into Venus in Gemini. That's where we're going next on this show. Going to happen on the 4th of July. So Venus is associated, as a reminder, with love and partnership, romance, finances, money, and resources. But more than that, Venus is the planet of values. So it depends on what you find valuable in your life. Now, we always say love and partnership and money because that's what many, many people find attractive, which is another word to always use with Venus. What are we attracted to? Who and what? And how do we make ourselves attractive? You know, how do we kind of use that magnetism of Venus to attract something that we want to ourselves? Well, we change that attractive factor. You know, we wear clothes of a certain, you know, I mean, obviously we wear clothes that feel good to us, but let's face it, we're wearing clothes that we think make us attractive to other people. We don't get up in the morning and go, you know, I don't care what somebody thinks. I mean, for the most part, we don't do that. It's like, what's going to highlight my hair, my eyes? What's going to make my body look better? What's going to make me look more powerful or more appealing or more sexy? That's what we're doing. It's a communication. But Venus is very much into what is attractive. So there again, look at the Venus in your chart, and it's going to tell you a lot. What sign is it in? Is it in fire or air or water or earth? It's going to tell you a lot about what you find attractive, but how you make yourself attractive. So Venus moving into the sign of the twins. Well, it's time to double up, diversify, and connect. Because once again, this is an air sign. It's all about communication. So maybe more than anything else, if you think about Gemini and Venus together, you're talking about communication. That's what's sexy. That's what's attractive. That's what we're going to be paying attention to. And remember, too, that Venus is going to be sitting right with Uranus, the planet of breakthroughs, on July 4th. Like, both of them are sitting there right at 29 Taurus because they're both on the precipice of moving. Now, Venus will move within a few hours of meeting up with Uranus. She's going to move into Gemini, and then Uranus will do it on Monday. But this is the kind of situation I would love to be a fly on the wall, because I imagine these two planets getting together, and what are they talking about? You know, it's just interesting. What are their plans for moving into Gemini? So I'm going to leave that to your imagination, but I love thinking about that. Venus is literally meeting up with Uranus and saying, hey, what do you think? Give me some tips. You know, give me some tips for moving into Gemini. And hey, I'll see you later. I'll see you on the flip side. But, you know, I just think it's really interesting. So there again, what's going on Friday morning? And maybe it's not something that's going on Friday morning. Maybe it'll show up later. But I think this particular transit of Venus through Gemini is definitely going to be influenced by Uranus, that planet of, hey, I want to break some rules. So Gemini, it's an air sign. It's about communication. So I'd say this is no time to give your partner the silent treatment unless you're trying to get rid of them. In fact, if you've read Mark's Love Scopes, Mark Husson wrote that book years ago. It's still so apropos. It's so wonderful. He takes all the signs, but he puts them in, you know, in ways of looking at what turns them off, what turns them on. It's called Love Scopes. And if I remember right, I didn't look it up, but I mean, it's a quote that I always go back to. He says, you want to drop a Gemini really fast, you know, or somebody with a planet in Gemini. You say, let's talk about that later. You know, put them off. We're not going to talk about that now. Gemini hates that. I want to talk, and I want to talk now. So artistic Venus, though, it's not just about communication. It's about creativity. Venus is a planet of creativity, and she wants to now express it in Gemini through language and text and chats and love letters and learning and teaching and exploring and new experiences. She she and Gemini, she and Sagittarius really share that, Gemini and Sag. You know, they want new experiences. I want to play with some new ideas. I want to have some new experiences. But Gemini is also associated with the hands and the arms and pairs of things in the body. So that's why you see also some incredible artists, you know, people that are sculptors or painters, or they do, you know, they do something with their body, specifically their hands. And, you know, have just, you know, I can't name them right off the top, but a lot of famous people had Venus in. Because Venus, by the way, tends to be, if you want to say, hey, what am I likely to be talented in terms of creativity? Look for your Venus, because that's where you're usually going to see it. Look to the house that she's in. But this is the thing too. So maybe with your partner or with people, you know, maybe you're going to make great strides in relationships by doing things like playing games like tennis or pickleball, or, you know, doing something with your hands and arms, you know, get out there. And I mean, and there's obviously tons more, but the whole idea is just doing something like that. You know, that would be a very Gemini thing to do too. But first and foremost, Venus in Gemini expects lovers and partners to be their friends. And if you can't talk about everything, what's the point? You know, this is the sign that says, hey, we stayed up all night talking. Why? Because she loves to talk. She loves to communicate. And those lovers better be friends and partners first and foremost. You know, Venus in Gemini looks for people who are intelligent and articulate and versatile and mentally stimulating. And it really helps if they're free-spirited, open-minded, and not possessive. And I'm going to stress that last one. You know, Gemini does not like possessiveness. I mean, it's kind of like, don't fence me in. There again, very much like Sagittarius. You rope me in, you fence me in, you limit my possibilities, and I am so out of here. So, you know, she's okay with people that are smarter than her because she wants to learn new things. You know, she likes being around smart people or people that are talking about things that are interesting. But don't be setting rules. Setting a lot of rules is what is a real no-go with Venus and Gemini, because they want the freedom to change their minds and to go different directions. This is the sign of the twins. They want diversity. They want versatility. And they can be incredible flirts. And I say this too, because no matter where you are in your life or who you are in your relationships, you may notice this need for lightheartedness in your life. Now, there again, it doesn't mean you throw away your relationship. It doesn't mean you go start dating several people at the same time, or, you know, you get married twice or whatever. It doesn't mean that. It just means you want that variety. It's coming up. And so it can manifest also as restlessness in a relationship. And so there again, if you're feeling like that's what's going on, you're a little bored, you're a little restless, you know, Gemini suffers from the fear of missing out. And think about it. Whenever we commit to one thing, to a person, to a relationship, to a job, to a course that we're going to study, you've basically eliminated the other choices. And so that's a very serious decision for a Gemini, because the minute they do that, they go, I want the twins. I crave the company of my twin. I enjoy having choices and having another way to look at this. I want the diversity and the multiplicity. So trying to make a decision and forcing Venus and Gemini into a decision, one choice, can be very difficult, because it feels like, okay, then I'm ruling out everything else. So just think about that in terms of, sometimes it's not literally that your mate or that you're unhappy in the relationship. You just want a little fresh, you know, you want something fresh. You want to look at something a different way. So does it mean vacationing someplace you've never gone before, reading books that you've never read before, trying a new sport? Just trying something new can sometimes appease that kind of restlessness in a relationship. And by the way, Venus is going to be in Gemini just through July 30th. I mean, you know, not going to be forever. But while it is, you know, really emphasize the communication, really emphasize being versatile, you know, trying something different. And so here are a couple of other ideas to think about. go with what you already know is true. You know, use that as the starting base. And know that trying something new doesn't have to break where you are now or break what you already have. Just, you know, take things one step at a time. You don't have to try to rush to the finish line. And by the way, I mean, Gemini is often in a hurry, truly. So you don't have to rush to the finish line. Trust yourself, trust your relationship, and trust here too that you are in the right place at the right time, with the right people, with the correct resources. And what you don't have, you're going to attract. So, you know, it's almost, I'm not saying just sit and just say, okay, everything's perfect, everything's going to be okay. But in some ways, yes, it is. So, you know, sometimes I know that as I'm talking about this, I almost feel in myself, oh, I need to race out and I need to do something about this. And it's like, no, actually, you don't. Just pay attention. Just watch it. Like I say, you'll see manifestations of it. But if you're feeling restless, if you're saying, hey, I want to try something new, that's probably Venus and Gemini saying, yeah, the twins are, they're wanting to do something else. They're wanting to get out. They're wanting to diversify. So just pay attention to it. That's all you really need to do here, okay? All right. So that's kind of exciting, right? All right, now we do have a little bit more time, so I want to go into the Neptune retrograde. And actually, I'm going to pop over to Facebook really quickly and see if there are any questions, if I can figure out how to get these to show up for me. And only a few things are showing up, and it's saying there's more comments, so sorry about that. But hey, Kat, thanks for joining us today, and Leslie, and I know there's more people there. And for some reason, you know me with tech, I try to be good, but I am not seeing the rest of the comments, although I know they're sitting there. So I'll go back over there in a few minutes and see if we can't get those to show up. Maybe I just need to refresh this page. But in any case, if you've got a question, you can post it over there. Oh, and there's Renee. Oh, and she says, I hope this show is going to be on demand because I missed the show. And absolutely, this is always posted on 12radio.com. If you go to the on demand section, you'll find 6 months worth of radio shows. So yes, Renee, this will be there. And also, like I said, we're playing with the YouTube format. So it will also show up on YouTube. Something, you know, there's no video, it's just a picture right now, but you can find the show over there too, if that's an easier format for you to listen to. You know, you can always do that. All right. And Quelly, hey, thank you very much for coming and being here today. And like I said, I'm not doing so good with finding all these comments. So I'm going to hit one more thing and see if they come up. Nope, I'm not doing so good. All right, we're going to let that go. Technology, right? You think I'd be better. I mean, I have Mercury in my third house, which is naturally the Gemini house. All right, so let's spend a few minutes talking about Neptune retrograde. Neptune begins its annual retrograde on Friday, July 4th at 2 degrees of Aries. And remember, Neptune is one of those planets that's farthest from the sun. And so we talk about them as moving slowly, but the truth is it's not about the speed of their orbit as much as it's what it looks like to us from planet Earth. And from, you know, where we sit, Mercury looks like it's just speeding around the sun over and over and over again. Whereas Neptune, Uranus, they're sitting way out there, Pluto. And so we call them the slow-moving planets, or we call them the outer planets. But because of that, there's an optical illusion that happens. And we call those retrogrades. Because from our perspective, as we're just, you know, kind of rotating around the sun so much quicker than they are, then it looks to us like those planets occasionally move backwards. And every single year, those outer planets will move into a retrograde pattern. Annual pattern, and it's 4 or 5 months at a time. And so in some ways, we don't give as much attention to some of those outer planet retrogrades because we live half our lives with those planets retrograde. right? Whereas we don't live that much time with Mars retrograde or Mercury or Venus. So we do tend to pay attention to those personal planets, because that's what they are. They're much more in our face. That, you know, there again, they're very close to Earth. We pay a whole lot more attention to them. However, there again, just knowing which planets are retrograde can really help us in terms of some of the lessons being learned or just some things going on. So Neptune retrograde, let's just get the facts down first. It is going retrograde on July 4th at 2 Aries. It barely got into Aries. And it's going to retrograde back into Pisces on October 22nd. It will return to direct motion on December 10th. So here again, the retrograde period is really between July 4th and December 10th. But notice this planet will go back into the sign before Aries. It's going to be sitting at 29 Pisces. And I mention this because once again, I mean, this is a long haul for some people in terms of, you know, these planets just kind of, it seems to me, maybe it's just because so many of them have changed, like Pluto just hovered, like in those last couple of degrees of Capricorn, it just seemed forever. And now we've got Neptune, and then Saturn will retrograde as well, just sitting at 29 Pisces. So once again, if you have planets at 29 degrees, and remember, who else is going to be at 29 degrees this week? You know, it's going to be Venus, you know, meeting up with Uranus right at 29 degrees. Now, of a different sign, it's Taurus. But we're going to have Neptune moving back to 29 Pisces. So if you're a 29 Pisces, you've got your sun there. You've got some other important planets there. Just pay attention, because that could be around the time that something important, very revealing, does happen for you. And in general, just pay attention. It's a, you know, Pisces is water. It's intuitive. It's the releasing. It's letting go. You know, all of that that we talked about Leo, about wanting to individuate. Well, Pisces is very much the opposite. Pisces is the collective energy. It's the ocean. Now, the ocean may contain all those different drops, but try to pull one of those drops out and then put it back in. And can you find it again? No, because Pisces is very much the collective. And Neptune rules Pisces. And so all of this stuff, you know, maybe all these issues, and in some ways, I think as people on this planet, we're always dealing with that, kind of the choice between the collective and our individual selves. I mean, very much that's what we have with Pluto in Aquarius. Aquarius is the sign of brotherhood. We're all in this together, shoulder to shoulder. But what also does Aquarius pay attention to? I want to be an individual. I want, you know, I don't want to totally get absorbed by the collective. I don't want to get totally absorbed by the group. What does it mean? What do I have to give up of myself to be part of a group? So here we have Neptune, ruler of Pisces, and it will go back into Pisces, but then it'll go back into direct motion right on 29 Pisces on December 10th. And by the way, by, you know, January 26th, of 2026, then Neptune will re-enter Aries. But when you think about Neptune, I mean, in some ways, I almost think Neptune is one of those planets. It's about transcendence. It's about the ultimate of imagination, creativity, dreams. It's the opposite of the physical universe. Neptune really resonates with that part of ourselves that remembers, on some level or another, that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Now, most of the time, what we think is we're physical beings, and sometimes we have some spiritual experiences. But you know what? Neptune says, nope, not true. You're spiritual beings, and you're having a physical experience. So Neptune breaks down, you know, it transcends all those limits, all those walls, because it says, I don't even see them. I don't recognize them. And I can literally transcend them. And so when I think of Neptune, it's highly high. And by the way, Neptune is the one that is often associated with just the social zeitgeist of a time. So if you look at the fashions, if you look at how the cultures are developing or moving, look at where Neptune is. And see, Neptune stays in a sign for 14 years. So it really can, you know, like when we say things like, you know, oh, go back to the 60s or the 70s or the 90s, that very much, look at where Neptune was. That's the zeitgeist of the time. And so going from Pisces, this very spiritual, otherworldly kind of energy, to Aries, the warrior. Aries, I want to have courage. I want to be an individual, but more than that, I want to have something to fight for. I want to have something, I want to find the Holy Grail, so to speak. But now Neptune is going to move retrograde. And where I was going is, to me, Neptune is one of those planets, whether it's going direct or whether it's going retrograde, I'm not sure that a mere human being can kind of hardly tell the difference. And the reason I say that is because, once again, if it represents that part of ourselves that is not physical, that is spiritual, that's operating on some other kind of realm, then when Neptune goes retrograde, it's not playing by the rules anyway. I mean, in some ways, that's what it feels like to me. It's not playing by the rules anyway, not by the physical rules. So is it going retrograde? Is it going direct? I don't know. However, it could be true. And I'm not saying, I mean, I shouldn't say it could be true. It's true that what we get used to, the patterns that we get used to, maybe they get all kind of mushy when Neptune goes retrograde. I think Neptune, anytime you're working with Neptune, but maybe especially when it's retrograde, it's a great time for healing. Because it's about correcting kind of maybe a misconception about the way life works. So it can be a good time for spiritual practices, working with your intuition and your psychic abilities. But more than that, just kind of relax and pay attention to it and don't get all worked up and into it, all right? Because here again, we're going into the summer when we usually have a lot of those outer planets moving retrograde. And Pluto's already retrograde and others are going to join these two very soon. So that's just like a little stick on Neptune. Heads up for next week. Uranus is going to enter Gemini. That's going to be very exciting. It will move back into Taurus very briefly. In November, because it's retrograde, it's going to go back into Taurus, but it'll return to Gemini next April. So this is our first taste. It's not the final one, but this is our first taste of Gemini, you know, with Uranus sitting there. So that, it truly is going to be very exciting, very interesting time for all of us. So, you know, stay tuned. Make sure you listen to Mark next week and all the other astrologers and everybody actually on 1-2 Radio, because they're probably all going to have their take about what's going on. So thank you so much. We need to wrap up. Thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all the listeners, to the people that did join me in the Facebook chat room, and also welcome to those people who are now finding us on YouTube. Thanks to my producer, Serena. I hope that you will stay tuned if you're listening live on Tuesday, July 1st, because up next is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And the quote of the week for the show is, a girl can wait for the right man to come along, but in the meantime, that still doesn't mean she can't have a wonderful time with all the wrong ones. That's Cher. And she has Venus, Uranus, and North Node of the Moon in Gemini. So she knows what she's talking about. But I love that. You don't, you know, you can wait for the right man to come along, but you can have a good time before that happens. This is CA signing out. Please come find me on 12listen.com. That's where you can get a reading, a session. You're free to request a scheduled call at a day and time that's good for you. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way we listen to the world.